All right, we're continuing in the book of John, going through this section of scripture called the end of the beginning, all because John 13, it starts off with this phrase, having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. The end of what? The end of the beginning, because the cross isn't the end. The grave is not the end. It's just the end of the beginning. That's where we've been looking at really the sermon at the end, the last thing that Jesus is instilling and putting in his disciples and helping them to embrace and understand. And so last week was all about the Holy Spirit. There's so much at times confusion that we have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but God is a God of order. And so he isn't a God of confusion. So he wants us to understand that because there's great power. We understand the Holy Spirit's role and how all of them work together. They're God. We have one God, but showing up in three persons. So if you weren't part, you can go back and listen to that and help you understand this whole idea of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be in John 15 today. And here's what I've called, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I don't know if you understand this, and hopefully you do where you're at in your life. If you don't, you will someday. That God is a good God who gives us great gifts. And sometimes we don't even know where and how those gifts will come or that we needed those gifts. But God is so good to just kind of give gifts into our lives. So I grew up without a grandfather. So my dad's dad died several years before I was born. My mom's dad, whose name was Stephen, where we got Stephen from, okay, died about 3 months after I was born. So I grew up not having a grandfather, not knowing one. Then I get married. And guess what? Jill has a grandfather. And some of you met because he was in this church in the last few years of his life. Grandpa was. And so now, here was the difficulty, okay? I grew up in the city, not on the farm, and this man was a farmer his entire life. So I'm going to tell you what I ended up finding myself doing, listening to the ag report on WHO, so I knew what in the world he was talking about. Ed, how's the crops? I don't know. They look good, right? They look good. Yeah, but what's the yield? I have no idea the what, okay? So I didn't have any idea of any of that, but he loved that. That was his life. That's what he enjoyed. And so being able to have that, right, you're doing that because this is awesome, right? Hey, if I got to learn what a yield is, I will learn what a yield is in order so we can have conversations and talk to him and just be in a part of the world that he loved. But that was just a gift from God to have that because I didn't have that. And to have that, a big part of my adult life was awesome and great and just an absolute gift and blessing from God. So that's where I really got. So I'm looking at this morning. This is the text of John 15, all about he is the vine, we are the branches, and all about bearing fruits. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just going to pull out the word yield. I never get to use that word, right? I have to have it for some reason other than it just was for that point. So that's where we're going to be this morning and talk about it. Here's what I want you to know, that this conversation continues. It's not new chapter, new thought. It's really a continuation of the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples at the end that we get to because John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, led by him, gives us all this information. We get to kind of peek into that night and say, ooh, what was it like? How awesome was it? And the end of John 14, it says they got up and left. And I think we're going to see where they go to and what's a part of that. But one of the things that's key in the Gospel of John when you're reading through it is this idea that John wants us to understand that Jesus came to give life. Life. In fact, he says at the end of the book, okay, my whole purpose in writing this is what? That you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world, and that by believing, you would have life in his name. So it comes up over and over again, whether it's the conversation with Nicodemus, whether it's the conversation with the woman at the well, this idea of life comes up over and over again. You get to John 10, and you get this whole idea of I've come to give life abundant. The enemy, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life. And it's just awesome. And it's all the way through this gospel, this idea of life, 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 life. And help us understand where this idea of life comes from, that it is connected with Christ, that Jesus came to bring life into us. and that by believing and trusting him, we'd be life. And I understand we hear the total opposite everywhere we go. Oh, no, forget about that stuff. Forget about Jesus. You get life all these other ways. Nope. They steal, they kill, they destroy. And in Jesus, we have life. So as you're thinking about this, I wanted you to think about a phrase, okay? A lot of times we will use the word Christian to define ourselves. Well, who are you? I'm a Christian. Do you know that word? And I'm talking about the actual Greek word, I think it's Christianos, appears three times. That's it. Three times. And that's the word, isn't that interesting? That's the word that we talk about all the time. It's how we think of ourselves. I want to give you another phrase that shows up way more and is really the context of everything Jesus wants his disciples to understand here. And it's the term in Christ, which appears 92 times, okay? So let's go with that one to help us with our identity, to help us who we are, that in Christ we have forgiveness, in Christ we have redemption. All these things that Jesus says I've come to give, you will find, Paul uses it, Peter uses it, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Grace to you, in Christ. It's all just in Christ. And that, I believe, all comes back to John 15 and this picture that Jesus wants to leave his disciples and give to us. So John 15, we're going to look at the first eight verses today, this whole picture that he gives. And so here is an Israeli grapevine. This is, I don't know when this picture was taken, pretty recent, okay? This is one of the crops of the land. If you remember when the spies went in, this is all the way back in the Old Testament, the spies went in, 10 were bad, 2 were good, right? If you all remember that little phrase and the little song that went with it. You remember that. One of the things it said they brought back from the land was what? Grapes. And in fact, it said the cluster was so big, 2 men were carrying it like this. I mean, that's pretty good, okay? So that land produces this. So I want you to get a picture, because rabbis would do this, that when they left, they went into a vineyard, probably one nearby. They were all over the place. And Jesus is like, oh, this is a great moment for a teaching time while we're standing in a vineyard. Jesus did this all the time, whether it was a person scattering seeds. He used what was going on to say, I'm going to teach you something brand new tonight, okay? I'm going to remind you of something as we're walking into this vineyard. And here it is. I'm the true vine. Notice he says he's the true vine. Notice he doesn't, right, the only one, because there's a lot of things you connect your life to, because he just said that in John 10, and if you connect to them, it's the enemy who steals, kills, and destroys. So I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. So the Father's at work because he wants me to do what? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. That's what we're supposed to be doing. In fact, I think you can take this first verse, and knowing what we do, what Paul writes us, we again see what he was talking about before. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How? Jesus is the vine, the Father is the gardener, the Holy Spirit is the fruit. Because we read that in Paul's words to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is, all three again, present there, him understanding. Do you understand how this is going to look in you? It is going to be all involved. I'm going to be all involved in your life. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. So the Father's got a plan. Why? He's got to get rid of everything that doesn't bear fruit. Why? Because it's just stealing from you. It's stealing from you. We don't think of that, but you're wasting a lot of resources on something that doesn't bear fruit. Now, I know zero about vineyards and pruning. I'm not even going to start there. Some of you might know far more than I do, other than why would you have something that doesn't bear fruit? Yeah, but it looks pretty. Well, does it matter? It's not doing its job. It's, you know, you're not getting any fruit off of that. So if you're not, why do you have it? Or are you getting grapes about that big, right? They're going to do nothing, right? But if we prune it back, if the Father prunes it back, he gets more resources and more things into it and produces more fruit. This is all he's trying to do in us. He's trying to get us to produce and to bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So he's got to cut things back. He's got to take things out. And that's not fun. That's that fixer-upper stuff we were talking about last week. That's not fun. Nah, we don't want that. But I like that. I like doing that. He's like, no, let me prune that back. It's going to be better if you let me just take that out. This thing, this part of your life, it's dead. Let me get rid of it for you. Let me just trim it off. Let me take it off because it's not getting you anywhere. It's not producing anything in your life. It's dead. Let's just get rid of it. So he's pruning. He's working because what? He wants to see us bear fruit. He wants to see us bear fruit. He continues. You are clean already because of the word that I've spoken to you. This goes back all the way to chapter 13. When he was washing the feet, and Peter's like, oh, just wash me. No, blah, 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 blah. I'm just washing your feet, right? You're already what? Clean. All of you but one. He's talking about Judas. So he goes back, and he's picturing all this because of the what? You're clean because of the what? The word that I have spoken to you. He's trying to put all this together for them so they understand the power of what he wants to see happen in their life. The goal is to bear fruit. It's simple. So however God wants to work in our life to help that happen greater and more abundant, he wants to do. That's why he's probably been pushing some things, trying to push some things out in your life, and you're resisting, right? Because we all do that. No, but I like that. I like that. I want to hold on to that. I want to keep that a little longer, right? I want to keep that envy a little bit longer, that jealousy a little bit longer. I want to keep that unforgiveness a little bit longer. No, let me take that. If I could prune that away, if I could take that away from you, your life would be even better. You would see even better results out of your life. You'd see better things for my kingdom. Just let me do that. Just let me take that. And we're sitting there, we're resisting. Oh, I don't want to. I want to hold on to my bitterness. I want to hold on to my stuff. And the Father would love to prune and take that away because the goal is to bear fruit. That's the goal of our lives, to bear fruit that is for our good and for God's glory. It isn't for us to say, oh, look at me. Nope. It is for our good and it's goodness in our lives, but it is for God's glory. He ultimately gets all the glory from what gets produced in our life with fruit. So look what he says. Remain in me. Stay. Be connected to me. And I will remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. Okay? Let me tell you what you've never seen. A branch lying on the ground to start producing fruit. Okay, maybe it was a windstorm. I tried this last year. It was not a huge success, right? Oh, I'm going to have a garden. Some of you saw it out there. You probably thought it was weeds. Anyway, right, that's what it looked like at times, okay? And so it happened, okay? So one of the storms, I lost part of a tomato plant, okay? So what you do, just kind of throw it to the side. Let me tell you what I didn't see on the ground a few days later. Wow, look at those tomatoes. Where'd they come from, okay? Why not? Because it's disconnected. It has nothing. It has nothing. It has no ability to produce fruit. It is dead because it is disconnected. And all of us have seen this all the time. We've all seen this, okay? You've not seen a bunch of wood laying on the side of the road, and all of a sudden, wow, that's pretty, the pretty flowers, and the tree just come up. No, because it's dead. It's disconnected. It has no place to get everything that it needs to be able to produce the fruit that it needs. So we've all seen this, and this is all Jesus is doing. Take an example that they saw every day because they had vineyards all around them and saying, do you understand this? If it's on the ground, it's dead. I want you connected to me because that's how you're going to have life and that's how fruit is going to be produced in your life. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. It's simple. Just stay connected to me, okay? Don't worry. Don't worry about anything else. You just stay connected to me. You be, as we learned earlier, in me, in Christ. You just be in me. That's all you have to worry about, okay? You just worry about that. Leave everything else up to me. And when that happens, you will bear much fruit. You will. It's going to happen. Your life will produce fruit. Because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. Nothing. Hey, right? He looks at his guys. Guys, nothing. Nothing. I know you're going to try. I know you're going to think so. I know at times you're going to be deceived. I'm telling you, nothing is going to be produced in your life apart from me. Just stay connected to me. Just stay connected to me. Be in me. All the things that I've told you. And it will change everything. Jesus is the only way we produce fruit. And we could say it's because he is the only source of life. We go back to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, here's where he's talking about life. This is where his conversation's going to go about, this is why I'm the source of life. This is why I want you to connect it to me. Because apart from that, you're going to have nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and dries up. And they would have saw this all the time. There's all these dead branches, okay, and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and are burned up. Why? Because they have no other purpose, because they are dead. Without life from Christ, there is only death. That's what it is. Apart from Christ, that's what gets produced. I know it might seem good. It may seem nice at times. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's death. And it may not be instantaneous, and it may take time, but you're wondering why parts of your life are dead is because somewhere along the line, Christ got taken out of that. Oh, no, no, don't go in that part. No, 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 no. I want to worship you, Jesus, on Sundays. But then when I go into work, I don't need you there. I don't need that. I need to act like everybody else in the workplace because then they'll accept me and then I'll fit in. And that's what we think. And then we wonder why that's such a hard part of our life. Well, all we've done is invited death into that part of our life, not life from Christ. That's all we've done. We just invited that because we've tried to disconnect ourselves in that part of our life from what Jesus wants to do. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be for you. Oh, this is one of those verses, right? Oh, this is one of those verses. You can get anything you want. Jesus will answer every prayer request you have and you'll get everything. Just start praying for a mansion, a boat, you know, I don't know what else you want, right? Okay, and this is what we do. We pull verses like this out, away from its context, and we put them up on a billboard and say, see, Jesus will give you whatever you want. No, because what is the whole context behind what he's telling them to do? He's telling them that asking is foundational to the word that remains in us, and it is what we need to produce fruit. That's how our prayers are. Okay, that's how, Jesus, you got to help me understand where are the dead parts of my life you'd like to prune away. Jesus, is this bringing life to me? See, now we're asking for prayer because we want to actually see fruit produced in our life. So we're not asking crazy things. We're not asking for boats. I don't know what boats produce, right? I don't know what Mustang convertibles produce, right? I don't know what that stuff brings us. But that's what we end up doing when we start pulling verses out and say, oh, this is a verse. You can have whatever you want. Yeah, you're going to produce fruit. You're going to be in Christ. Are you going to see what Jesus is going to bring out of your life? Oh, yeah. Ask anything. Go ahead. Go ahead, because he loves to answer those requests about him working in your life and being glorified by what's going on in it. My Father, Jesus says, is honored by this, that you bear much fruit, and you show that you are my disciples. So bearing fruit shows we're followers of Jesus. That's what it shows. It shows that we are followers of Jesus. Here's the fruit we're talking about. Paul would later define it. By the way, you can find several of these in this section of Scripture. Jesus talks about love. Jesus talks about joy. Jesus talks about peace. Isn't that interesting? As he's telling them, life is in him. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and I don't like that self-control. That gives a bad image, okay? We've talked about everything that gets produced from him. The word gives a picture of, I'm going to let the Spirit dominate my life. That's the picture of that word, but everybody translates it self-control. Sounds like, oh, we get the Spirit to everything else, and then watch me handle this one, Spirit. I don't need you. No, it's I need you to give me control. Sometimes it's control over our tongues. Sometimes it's control over our hands. Sometimes it's control over our minds. Sometimes it's control over what we're watching, right? All those things. And we give him control to take those out, to help us to say no, to empower us to say no, to help us come alongside of us to say no, to not say those things anymore. This is the fruit that Jesus would love to see come out of our lives. And he says, this shows that you're my disciples. You want people to know you're my followers? Just start being connected to me and watch this stuff start coming out of your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of it. see it all produced in your life. And who in here, not looking at the list, goes, oh my gosh, I could use more of that. We just need more of this in our homes. We need more of this in our marriage. We need more of this with our kids. We need more of this there. We need more of this in our workplace. And guess who's supposed to bring it in our workplace? We are. Who's supposed to do that? We are. Who's supposed to bring it into our marriage? We are. We are. I need to start owning this, that this is what Jesus wants to see produced out of our lives, if we'd be connected to him and to see these things get produced. So what's your yield? How's it going? What's getting produced out of your life? And the statement I want to leave you with is, the more we are connected to Jesus, the more fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. Don't sit here and think, oh, this is a lot of pressure. I got to start producing. No, hold on. Whoa. Be connected to Jesus. Take all the pressure off. Take all the pressure off. Oh, I got to have a big yield this year. No, take all the pressure off. Wait a minute. Jesus, I'm just going to be more connected to you. I'm going to be more obedient to you. We're going to pick that up next week, because he's going to kind of prod us in that area too and say, oh, you say you love me? Oh, guess what? Then here's what you should be doing if you're going to declare that you love me. The more connected to Jesus we are, the more fruit gets produced. Stop thinking about that end and just thinking, how can I be more connected to Jesus? How do I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am heading, you know, into work. How can I be more connected to you and walk into that workplace? How can I do that? And you know, don't close your eyes when you're driving. That probably wouldn't be good. Don't do that, okay? But you can whisper prayers. God, help me. Jesus, help me to do this. To be so connected to you that my life is going to produce fruit in this area. Kids, why don't you pray this when you go into school? Are you saying, oh, my school doesn't need anything on that list, really? I went to Christian school and we need everything on that list, okay? I remember those days, okay? We need it all. You need it all. What if you just pray a prayer? Help me be, Jesus, so connected to you that this would get produced out of my life today. So this week, if you saw that I shared the picture, this week, I got to, in 2009, I was in Atlanta for a conference, and some of you will know the name Trevor Taylor. Trevor Taylor was with me on the trip, and Trevor Taylor was big into Twitter in that day, and I'm like, twit what? Okay, I didn't know anything about it in those days, okay? That's 09, so he's on it, and he finds out that the conference we're going to, Dr. Charles Stanley is going to be at the conference. He's just coming to visit. And he's like, Ed, you realize this is great. We're going to go scope him out. I'm like, this is bad. Okay, this is bad. We're stalking him, right? Right. Let's use a different word, okay? So anyway, we're like, we got to keep our eyes out. Because it's possible we wanted to meet him. It'd be so cool, right? So that's what we did. So we get this conference, we're looking out, and Trevor spots him. He's like, Ed, he's over there. So we go over there. He was so nice to us. And I think it's because we went to a Braves baseball game before that Trevor hadn't signed a baseball. And I was going to message him this week and go, do you still have your Dr. Stanley signed baseball? And I know, right? But I'd still have that. So he did that. Trevor did the honor of taking a picture with Dr. Stanley. It was great. We had a great time just talking to him for a few minutes. He was so gracious and so kind to us. So I shared that this week when he passed away. Now, what everybody's been talking about is all the things that, oh, man, he wrote all these books. They said at one point, you could almost go to any country in the world and listen to him on radio or see him on TV. Like, he was just everywhere, right? He's just everywhere, 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 everywhere. And that's kind of what everybody's talking about. Oh, the amount of books. Somebody, and I don't know who to give credit for this to, or I would, but somebody helped us understand something that we might have assumed. And maybe those closest to him knew, but a lot of people didn't, because we want to talk about, oh, look at all the books, look at all the sermons, right? All this stuff. That's the stuff we see. I'm going to tell you what we didn't see. I'm going to show you a picture that popped up a few days ago that somebody put on. Okay? So how does a life produce that? They are, what did we start at the beginning? In Christ. Well, what does it take to be in Christ? So this picture emerges. This is the room in which he prayed all the time. This was his prayer room. I've never seen this picture before. I don't know if he's talked about it in some books. I've read a few of his books. That's his prayer room. Because why? I'm going to do nothing apart from Christ. Nothing. Nothing apart from Christ. So I better be connected with Christ. The way he did that was to set aside a designated space in his room, in his house, where he would pray. And he would pray often. Maybe while he was doing a book. I don't know, but he'd pray often. 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 See, this is what nobody tells you. Everybody wants to talk about the books and the sermons. And wow, look at that this. He preached till he was 88 years old. He was pastor in a church. And then, right? Everyone's talking about that stuff. Can I, for a moment, okay, just push that away? Maybe you've never heard Charles Stanley. It's okay. Just push that away. Forget about that for a moment. He decided, before anything else, he was just going to be connected to Christ. He has a quote that I absolutely love. Obey God and leave all the consequences up to him. That's, man, that's awesome. Obey God, leave all the consequences. Yeah, but you don't know. Leave all the consequences up to him. So he just decided, I'm going to be connected to Jesus. The way he did that was in prayer, setting aside a room in his house. I'm not saying you got to set aside a room in your house. I'm saying that's the way he just decided that the only way his life was going to be fruitful was to be connected to Jesus. And that's how he chose to be connected with Jesus. And nobody's going to talk about that part. They're just going to talk about everything else. And they're going to miss that. I don't want you to miss that. Because that's what happens. How are you going to be connected to Jesus? And let him be that vine that he promises to be. And watch our life produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit for our good and his glory. How are you going to be connected to Jesus so that that becomes the story of your life? It's not going to be, oh, they did this and they did that. And that might be what everybody talks about. But a few around you are going to know, oh, you know what they did? They did this every day. And that's how they got connected. They opened the Word every day. They read a little bit. And that's how they got connected. They prayed. They did this. They had a pattern in their life to be connected to Jesus daily so that everything they stepped into was the Holy Spirit just producing fruit out of their life, because they were connected to Jesus. That's what I pray for you is today. That you would be so connected to Jesus that life and fruit would see coming out of your life. Let me pray for us today. And then we're going to worship the Lord one more time. We're going to sing a song called Here's My Heart. Speak what is true. That's what we want them to do. Our prayer team will be over to the side. You can pray with them about the message, about anything that's going on in your life. I realize you walk in these doors. I know you online. You can, Pastor Ryan's online. You can just in the chat ask him for prayer. He'd love to pray with you and for you. So you can do that if you're online. In the room, we have this for you because we don't know what's going on in your life when you walk in these doors. All sorts of things. You could hear all sorts of news this week, have all sorts of struggles that you're going through. And we just want the opportunity to pray with you and for you in the midst of these different things. So let me pray for you this morning, and then we're going to worship the Lord together. Jesus, in these moments, would you be so kind as to show us just one thing, one thing. We couldn't handle more than that. We'd get overwhelmed. And because you are so good and so kind, would you just show us one thing? One thing that you'd like to prune away? Maybe we've argued with you about it. Maybe we said, oh, it's fine, it's good. But you'd love to prune that and take that away from us. It's just dead. It's stealing life from us. Maybe we've never thought about it that way before. But that thing is stealing life. It is stealing resources. It is stealing things that we can never get back. But, oh, it looks good. We'd like to do it. Would you just whisper to us, let me just take that. Let me snip it away. Let me remove it. Oh, it's going to be for your good and my glory. Jesus, would you just do that for us today? give us the courage to let you do it, to stop arguing with you, reasoning with you, just let you take it and watch as you do amazing things. That's our prayer today. Would you prune our lives? Would you help us, Father, be so connected to you? Oh, gosh, fruit just pours out of our lives. Not for us, all for your glory and your honor. Work and move in our hearts.